More than 50 people have died in commercial aviation accidents in Alaska since 2016. In this year alone, 13 of these deaths were on small commercial aircraft. KUCB's Zoe Sobel has been investigating commercial aviation safety in Alaska with ProPublica. That joint investigation found that while technology has improved, the state now makes up a growing share of the country's fatalities involving commuter, air taxi, and charter flights. And some say regulators need to do more to help improve safety.
More than five decades ago, Doug Grotheis lost his father in a plane crash on the North Slope. His father, Harold, was flying in the Arctic North to investigate allegations of unfair labor practices towards Alaska Natives.
I am very proud of my father's work and his memory. And he died serving the cause of labor in Alaska and serving the state of Alaska.
More than 50 years after Harold's death, it's difficult for Grotheis to read about plane crashes in Alaska. He says he'd like to see stricter safety standards and regulations.
And I know that cuts against the grain of the Alaska independent spirit. You know, don't touch my plane. I'll fly the way I want to fly. But I think the state does have a legitimate role of ensuring public safety.
The number of accidents has decreased during recent decades, but Alaska makes up a growing share of the nation's fatalities involving small commercial aircraft. The challenging conditions of operating in Alaska haven't changed. In fact, there have been six fatal commercial crashes in Alaska since 2010, where investigators listed weather as a cause or factor. And some experts say that's likely an undercount. Part of the solution could lie in more access to real-time weather data. Pilots can call up a forecast while in the air. It sounds like this.
The Walk Airport. Automated weather observation. 2238 Zulu.
But in much of Alaska, the equipment necessary to monitor weather isn't in place. The Alaska Air Carriers Association, an organization that advocates for commercial operators, wants that to change. Here's Executive Director Jane Dale.
It's absolutely critical for the operators to have weather in order to get the situation awareness of what they need to begin to plan their flight.
There are currently about 90 aviation weather stations across Alaska, and the Federal Aviation Administration plans to install another eight next summer. They each cost about $600,000. The FAA says locations for the additional units have been identified.
Visibility 10. Sky condition overcast 3,600. Temperature 16 Celsius.
Not only can more weather information help pilots make more informed decisions, it can open the door for them to fly using instruments. That allows them to fly when visibility is limited by weather, says Ed Coleman, a commercial pilot who's flown extensively around the world.
If I'm flying on instruments, even though I'm in the weather, I know exactly where I am. I know exactly the route I'm going to take.
But some operators say the FAA isn't moving quick enough to support instrument flight. Island Air Express, a Prince of Wales Island-based operator, installed its own weather station and is investing hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop its own protocols that allow its pilots to fly using instruments at eight airports across Southeast Alaska, says Director of Operations Scott Van Valen.
The time to wait for the current process for a normal FAA procedure, you know, they claim it's 5 to 6 years. And for the one in Klawak they built, it was a solid 6 years. And we don't have that kind of time.
But deadly crashes in Alaska haven't just been due to poor weather. In roughly the past 5 years in Alaska, there have been five fatal mid-air collisions involving commercial operators. There's technology called Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast Systems, or ADS-B, that can prevent this type of crash. It can provide visual alerts and talk when aircraft get too close. It sounds like this.
Traffic, 10 o'clock, 4 miles, 1,000 feet below.
But the National Transportation Safety Board, which investigates crashes, found in each accident that technology was either not installed or not working properly in at least one of the planes. To be most effective, both planes need to have it fully installed. But in Alaska, ADS-B is only required around Anchorage and at high altitudes. The FAA says its ADS-B ground stations cover more than 90% of the major flight routes flown by commercial operators and private pilots, but rural operators like Grant Aviation's Dan Knezik say that's not enough.
There are black holes in the state that ADS-B cannot be seen. We move aircraft around all the time between bases, and I see it all the time. I see it in the Aleutian chain. Once they are in all over, when they drop below a certain altitude, we do not see them on ADS-B anymore.
Bethel is the travel hub for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Last year, the airport saw nearly 82,000 landings, about 80% of which are commercial operations. And Kinesic would like to see ADS-B required there.
The number of operations in and out of Bethel on a daily basis, monthly basis, and the weather and environment that we're operating in there, I think requires it.
At a 2019 roundtable meeting in Anchorage, the FAA's Brian Johnson said in recent years there have been roughly 10 near midair collisions, or NEMACs, in Bethel.
The one fact that jumped out on every one of those NEMACs is at least one of the aircraft involved was not ADS-B equipped.
So why don't more operators install ADS-B? Jane Dale of the Alaska Air Carriers Association says limited coverage in rural Alaska makes some reluctant to invest.
If there was, complete coverage, it's another story. But, I mean, you leave Anchorage and you come out to the Matsu and you don't have ADS-B up here. We need to finish the deployment, and then I think we've really got something to talk about.
ADS-B is relatively inexpensive, costing from less than $2,000 to $5,000 per plane, depending on the model. In a statement, the FAA said it has worked with the industry to identify areas for additional ADS-B coverage in Alaska, but it did not get specific. The NTSB would like to see more regulation. Earlier this year, it issued a number of safety recommendations stemming from its investigation of a fatal mid-air collision in Ketchikan that killed six people. The NTSB wants the FAA to identify high traffic areas and mandate air tour operators flying there use ADS-B. But in a statement, the FAA says for now it's relying on commercial operators to use the early warning devices voluntarily. To this day, Doug Grotheis, who lost his father in a 1968 Alaska plane crash, hasn't flown in a small plane. Grotheis says while he's not into big government, given the risks of flying in rural Alaska, the industry probably deserves more regulation.
Any technology that can increase safety and minimize fatalities and crashes, which is not going to put, let's say, half of the pilots out of business because they can't afford it, it can, given what I know, I think that makes good sense.
In Ketchikan, I'm Zoe Sobel.
This story was produced as part of ProPublica's local reporting network. You can read more on our website at kucb.org.